Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus is speaking in Psalm 41. Enemies of Christ were seeking to kill our Lord that his name would perish forever. They ridiculed and they mocked him. Even one of the 12 would betray our Lord Jesus Christ. Last night, we heard Jesus say of Judas in Psalm 41:9, "Even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me." Then Jesus prayed in the following verse, "But you, O Lord, be gracious to me and raise me up that I may repay them." What is Jesus saying here? Is he asking his Father to raise him from the dead that Jesus could bring about some sort of retribution or punishment upon his enemies to repay them? That certainly does not sound like the mind of Christ, who does everything in love, who even fulfilled the law, which is summarized with love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. So could there be some other explanation to these words of Jesus? "But you, O Lord, be gracious to me and raise me up that I may repay them." Yes, in fact, there is. Jesus begins with, "But you, O Lord, be gracious to me." Jesus begins this sentence with a "but," meaning on the contrary or doing the opposite. "But you, O Lord, are the opposite. You'll do the opposite as the enemies of Christ and even Judas." That God will not be like those who sought his death. But his mind, of course, is different. Jesus is not seeking to repay them in the way in which they are treating him. Jesus preached in his Sermon on the Mount, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven." And unlike other teachers, Jesus does what he teaches. He doesn't teach one thing and then do another and then say that oft-repeated phrase, "Do as I say, not as I do." In Psalm 41, verse 10, Jesus petitions his Father in heaven to be favorable toward him, that God would accept what Jesus is about to do. On Maundy Thursday, Jesus prayed what we call the high priestly prayer, which is recorded throughout all of John chapter 17. Jesus began his prayer saying, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed." You can hear it in this prayer of Jesus that he is asking his Father to be gracious to him as he is going to the cross to be glorified. Jesus continues in his prayer in Psalm 41, saying, "Raise me up that I may repay them." The first thing that probably comes to mind when you hear the phrase, "raise me up," would be the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. After all, in the previous psalm, Jesus also was speaking in that psalm, and he spoke of his resurrection, saying, "He, that is God, drew me up from the pit of destruction out of the miry bog and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure." It is written in Romans chapter 6, verse 4, "We are therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life." And St. Paul wrote, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." But, my friends, the scriptures do not always refer to the resurrection when words like "raise me up" or "be lifted up" are employed. Recall what Jesus said to Nicodemus. "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." Also recall the words of Jesus in John 8. "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he." And also listen to these words of Scripture as Jesus is about to begin his passion from John chapter 12. Jesus said, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So the crowd answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" And those three references from John, to be lifted up, means to be raised up on the cross. This matches our reading from Isaiah 2. "Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted. As many were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind, so shall he sprinkle many nations." Jesus prayed, "Raise me up that I may repay them." It's the same as Jesus saying, "Father, let your favor be upon me and lift me up on the cross that I may repay them." When Jesus prays to repay them, those who had been mocking him and betraying him. When we think about repayment for evil, we will think about what is done to punish wrongdoers. That's part of the reason why God established the government. Recall these words of Scripture concerning government and its role in our lives. "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval, for he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. So government is supposed to serve as an instrument of God, to be a terror to bad conduct, and to receive approval for good conduct. The government serves as an avenger on the wrongdoer. That's why the government issues fines, keeps track of criminal records, and sentences criminals to prison. God at work through the government, this is known as his alien or foreign work, when he must bring about punishment. It is something he must do, however, in his justice. This also keeps us from coming up with our own punishments for the crimes of others. Our place is not that of vengeance, but of forgiveness and grace. Recall the words of Romans chapter 12. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Jesus prophesied the destruction of Jerusalem because of the unbelief of his people. It's also why God had sent plagues upon his people, or why the Assyrians were sent by God to conquer the northern kingdom in 722 BC, or why God sent the Babylonians to conquer Judah, the southern kingdom, in 586 BC. But if you think about it, these are temporal punishments that God inflicted upon his people, not eternal punishments. When Jesus said, "Raise me up that I may repay them," he was not even thinking about punishment. Instead, just as he was asking his Father to be gracious to him, so also Jesus was desiring to repay his enemies with grace. The word repay in Hebrew is based on the same word as the Hebrew word for peace. You may know that word, shalom. In fact, the word repay, shalem in Hebrew, is sometimes translated as peace. For example, Solomon wrote in Proverbs 16, "When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him." The same word is used there for peace in Proverbs as when Jesus uses the word repay in Psalm 41. Jesus desired to please the Lord in all his works and in all his ways. He sought to perfectly fulfill the law of God. In fact, that is precisely what Jesus did. He even made peace with all who brought about his crucifixion. For he prayed on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus is, after all, the Prince of Peace. He went to the cross to please his Father and grant us sinners peace with God. Through his payment of innocent blood as he is lifted up on the cross, Jesus reconciles us to our Father in heaven. Jesus spoke on the cross, "It is finished." And in doing so, he had earned forgiveness for the sins of all people throughout all time. All sin for all people. Jesus, by declaring "it is finished," objectively declared the world to have their sins taken away. Instead of sending his righteous wrath against all mankind forever, condemning them in hell, Jesus suffered the wrath of God as he was forsaken by his Father on the cross. He was punished in our place. The repayment that he desired to offer is that of peace with God, so that sinners are reconciled to our Father in heaven. That is exactly what we have in Christ. No one is left to accuse us. As Christians who firmly and fully believe the entire Scriptures, as Christians who are repentant of all sin, Christ Jesus cleanses us with his blood, he covers us with his righteousness, and he grants us his peace. You are baptized children of God, bought by the blood of the Lamb of God. You are God's own child. Christ Jesus is your brother. Your identity is now found in Christ and in his family, all by grace, as he gives you his peace. As a father was gracious to his son, so also he is gracious to you. He has repaid your sin with his peace and grace, covering you with his very righteousness. This, my friends, is the good news that we have on Good Friday. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting.